Okay, good morning. It's Friday morning after. You're listening to Joe Broadhurst and lots of people in the studio, Margot, Sarah, Kathy, and we are joined by Sandra Cuff. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. Pretty good.
The Vagabond. So you are here to discuss some issues happening with Glamis Gold, and they are trying to put... Are they actually... Is the gold mine actually going on right now, or are they just trying to push to have that happen? Because I know that there was some action taken by the communities down there trying to make it not happen. So
yeah, there's definitely been a lot of resistance. And the biggest resistance action was last June. The communities organized a community-driven consultation process.
Okay.
And so 11 out of 13 communities in Sipacapa, which is one of the two municipalities where the mining project is, overwhelmingly rejected mining activity. But Glamis Gold didn't pay this any attention, so late last year they actually started operating. So it's an open pit and underground tunnel gold mine called the Marlin Project, or the Marlin Mine now.
Okay, so and you're with Rights Action, is that correct?
Yep, Rights Action.
There's going to be a speaking tour, right, with Juan Tema, is that correct?
Yeah, we've invited up Juan Tema, who's a community leader from Sipacapa, which is in the Department of San Marcos in Guatemala. He's out in Halifax right now doing some presentations, and we also invited Carlos Amador, who's a community leader from the Siria Valley in Honduras, where there's another Glamis gold mine that's been operating for about 6 years now. The Canadian embassy hasn't given Carlos a response regarding his visa yet, even though he was supposed to fly up on April 16th. But we're still going ahead with a speaking tour. We were in Toronto, London, Hamilton, Ottawa over the past few days. And we're actually going to be in Montreal. I mean, I'm in Montreal. Juan's going to be joining me here in Montreal for the next few days. And then we'll be headed to Toronto because Glamis Gold is holding its annual shareholders meeting on May 3rd outside the Royal Oak Hotel. So we're organizing some peaceful mobilization outside the hotel.
Yeah, which hotel?
It's the Royal York Hotel. It's right across from Union Station, downtown Toronto.
You're going to be doing that this weekend? Or
May 3rd would be, I think it's a Wednesday.
Okay, Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday at noon. We'll be there.
All right. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about some of the effects that these mines have on these people. Obviously, if 11 out of 13 communities are voting to reject the mine, even though a mine like that would provide jobs to a certain portion of the community. Obviously, these mines have a huge effect on the environment and on people's health. Can you talk a little bit about how a mine like that would affect the community?
Sure. Well, it's basically people are no longer, it's not like, you know, finding gold nuggets in a river or like picking out with a pickaxe a vein of gold. So basically these mining
sifting
companies...
Sifting from the... yeah. Stopping at the gold thing.
It's not like a happy and environmentally friendly process. So these companies are moving in actually where there used to be a lot of old Spanish mines, and they're looking for... They're really tiny concentrations of gold and silver, but, you know, high enough concentrations that the company's still going to make a profit. But the average around now is that to get at 1 ounce of gold, the companies actually have to blast and process a ton of rock or mountain or earth. So, I mean, it's just inherently an extremely environmentally destructive process. They have to clear cut the entire area, remove the whole topsoil. Then they actually dynamite, will dynamite for years. While as long as the mine is open, they're dynamiting material. In the case of the mine in Honduras, it's part of a mountain range that's no longer there. They actually
just take off the top of a mountain, right?
Yeah, they're just like working down into the mountain.
It's incredible to me that
their open pit is now off
the top of the mountain.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so they crush this material, and then it's treated with a cyanide solution. So in case anyone's, you know, not aware, cyanide is extremely toxic.
Yeah. And it doesn't just go away. Once it's in the environment.
Yeah, so there's both the risk of cyanide contamination, but what a lot of the health impacts come from is actually heavy metal contamination. Because they're processing all of this material, all of the metals that are normally found within the mountain or the earth or the rock, like arsenic, mercury, lead, etc., are going to be filtering out of that because all the material has been crushed and processed. And so the cyanide solution, cyanide bonds with gold, and they filter that out. Mining company takes it out, you know, get rich in Canada. But everything else is left filtering out for actually centuries. And so in Honduras, where the Glamis gold mine, it's the San Martin mine, has been operating for just over 6 years, there's already extremely serious health consequences. And there's been independent medical brigades that have been going into the Syria Valley every so often. And these illnesses just keep on increasing. So there's tons of skin problems, respiratory problems, gastrointestinal problems, a lot of problems with vision. And a lot of this is because of the heavy metal contamination, which has been proven in some cases. Some communities' water sources have extremely high levels of arsenic and mercury. And those in the long term also lead to cancer and mental health problems. So there are really serious environmental and health impacts. In the case of the mine in Guatemala, because it just started operating late last year, most of the impacts that have been seen so far, aside from the environmental impacts directly where the mine is located, most of the impacts have been social impacts. So miners come in. There's a very small percentage of jobs that actually go to the local people, and they're mostly entry-level jobs. So in the mine in Honduras, there's about 50 people from the area working at the mine of a total of only about 150. And this is affecting a region. The valley has 40,000 people living in it. Mm-hmm. So it's a very small percentage of the families that directly benefit, or even indirectly benefit. And so in Guatemala, this has caused a lot of tension. Miners have come in from elsewhere, from Honduras, El Salvador, Canada, etc. They're mostly men. They're living away from home. So there's been a lot of actually like insecurity issues, a lot of harassment against women, cases of rape that haven't been denounced because people are intimidated. You know, there's trucks driving around with armed men in the back. They'll show their guns to people. So right around the mine, it's a climate of basically fear and repression. And there has been direct repression by both the army and the police against resistance to the Marlin mining project in Guatemala. So it's an extremely tense situation right now.
How does the Canadian government participate in trying to make help a company like Glamis Gold operate in these communities, even though the communities don't obviously want them there? How does the Canadian government participate in that?
In a number of ways, and it's not just in this case, but all over the world, because actually the majority of mining companies are Canadian, and the majority of financing for mining companies around the world is Canadian. So one government agency that's been really involved has been CETA. And they've been involved in financing projects in different countries all around the world actually to reform the mining legislation. This is something that's kind of winding down now because over 70 countries have changed their mining laws in the past 15, 20 years. And this is to favor transnational mining companies. They privatize state mining companies, bring down the percentage that actually stays in the country to between 1% and 3%, et cetera. So that was a process that went on in Central America with the support of CETA. And before the peace accords in Guatemala, up until 96, there was a 36-year civil war in which 400,000 people were killed. 90% of the people killed were indigenous. So it was actually directly genocide in certain areas. Before the peace accords were even signed, the Canadian government organized a delegation of mining investors to go down into Guatemala. And then right after the peace accords were signed, they quote-unquote, supported the reforms in the mining law. And so there's just a whole hundreds of mining concessions have been granted to mostly Canadian companies since then. And in the case of this specific project that's happening in San Miguel Ixtahuacán and Zipacapa out in San Marcos, mid-last year, there was a change in the ambassador and a lot of the personnel at the Canadian embassy. But the previous ambassador, James Lambert, and his, helper, Jeanette Martin.
Assistant.
Advisor, that's the word, Jeanette Martin, were blatantly pro-mining and blatantly, like really openly supporting Glamis Gold. The Canadian ambassador would actually write op-eds in the newspapers in Guatemala.
Very nice.
You know, saying, we're bringing you development, et cetera. You know, you have to support mining, blah, blah, blah. Canada's developed. Canada's based its, you know, its economy on mining, and that's how we've grown and progress and blah, blah, blah.
So we're going to have to run here, but what would people do if they wanted to, you know, participate in what you're doing, which is, you know, perhaps protesting a little bit, but actually direct action, you know, as far as contacting some of these people?
Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll just announce the there's a couple events that we're going to be doing with Juan Tema as well in a documentary film here in Montreal. So the first event is tomorrow at 2 p.m. At Café Utopique, which is 552 St. Catherine East. And then on Monday, May 1st, which, you know, I know isn't exactly the best day for a lot of activists out there, but, you know, you can boycott U.S. products and come and hear an exciting presentation.
There you go.
At 7:30 p.m., the first is at Café Utopique is going to be the translation into French, and the second one on May 1st is going to be the translation into English. So at 7:30 p.m. at the St. Patrick Church, it's 460 René Lévesque. And if anyone wants more information, you can contact Rights Action. It's 416-654-2074, and the email is info@rightsaction.org.
And I'm sure they can get more information at rightsaction.org.
Definitely.
I'm sure there's going to be more information on that. So, Sandra Cuff, I thank you for joining us this morning. And for those of you, you're going to have a nice weekend. Margaret's already told us that the weather's going to be nice. So rest up, sit out in the sun, and then Monday get out and take some action. And you're listening Friday Morning After. It is 7:51. We will be right back with a couple of announcements. And stay tuned because John B. is going to be up next with Jazz Amok. Let me freak the funk obsolete.